Thank you so much for being here. It's great to have a group that's willing to learn about somebody that you don't know on a Wednesday night. And I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. This is someone who has been a hero of mine for 30 or 35 years. When I first read about this person, I had never heard of him before. And his writings became a good companion of mine 35 or so years ago. And he has been a good companion to me ever since. Now, he lived a long time ago. He lived over 1,800 years ago. So I get to introduce you to an old friend tonight. So let's pray and ask for God's help and blessing as we prepare. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to praise you and to learn of you through faithful men and women in the history of the church. And we ask, O God, that our thoughts would glorify you and that what we learn would be useful to us in living the Christian life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to tell you about a friend of mine. And his name gets pronounced different ways. His name, sometimes you will hear people say Irenaeus. I often hear that in the United States. And then in Britain, you will often hear people say Irenaeus. Now, neither way is wrong. You know, proper nouns are notoriously difficult to pronounce. Anybody with a name like Ligon should be able to attest to that. It's that you don't always know how people pronounce their proper names, but the way my British friends pronounce it is probably a little closer to the way that it would have been pronounced in Greek. It's a Greek name, and you actually know the Greek name because you know people named Irene. And that English name, Irene, is based on a Greek word, Irene, which means peace. So it's a wonderful Christian name. And this man lived in the second century. He was a very important pastor and theologian in the second century. He lived, we think, somewhere in, he was born maybe in the 130s or 140s, somewhere there. Now, that, so if you think Jesus lives from, you know, a little before 0 AD to around 30 or maybe 33 AD, and then the Apostle Paul lives until about 60-something AD, and then the Apostle John lives to about 90-something, maybe 95 or 96 AD. So if you have that in your mind, in the first century, Jesus lives to the early 30s, Paul lives to the mid-60s, John, the oldest of the apostles, lives to the 90s. And to give you a time frame, so Irenaeus is born maybe 40 years after the death of John or so, approximately. We don't know exactly. We have to date his life based off things that he says in his writings that clue us in to times that we do know. So for instance, I'll tell you tonight, he references a man named Polycarp. And Polycarp was a pastor in Asia Minor that lived before him and died during his lifetime. And he references him several times in his writings. And he talks about how old he was when Polycarp was alive. And so we figure out his dating, at least his birth, kind of in relation to Polycarp. And then we really don't know exactly when he died. You see, I've put approximate dates up here. Sometimes we know exactly when people lived and died because of events that happened which we can definitively date. But sometimes we have to guess. So the best guess is he died around the year 200, 202, because it seems like he dies during a persecution that was going on under the emperor Septimus Severus. And we don't know whether he was martyred. Later writers say that he was martyred, and that's very, very plausible that he could have died as a witness to Christ because of his Christian profession under pagan Roman rule. He lives that early. Remember, Rome is not yet Christian at this time. Rome is pagan. And even though Christianity is spreading everywhere in the empire and churches are popping up everywhere, Christians still face very open persecution. So we're going to talk about my friend Irenaeus, who lived in the second century. Most of his life is in the second century. That is the late 100s, from about 130 or 140 to the end of that century. Now, he was born in an area that was called Asia Minor. That's where Paul was from. Paul was from Asia Minor. And so it's not surprising, is it, that Paul goes back to Asia Minor to share the gospel. And Asia Minor is the area which is modern-day Turkey. So if you've visited the country of Turkey, you have visited Asia Minor. It was part of the Roman Empire. You know, later, the Greeks and the Turks will become enemies, you know, later in time, many, many years later. But right now, Asia Minor is part of the Roman Empire. And that's where Irenaeus was born. He was born on the west coast of Asia Minor, the part of Asia Minor closest to Greece. And there was a lot of Christian activity on that west coast of Asia Minor. But he eventually will become a pastor of a church in Gaul. Now, some of you had to read classics when you were in high school, and you will remember all Gaul is divided into three parts. Well, Gaul was a Roman province, which today is mostly France. And he was in a Roman town in France called Lugdunum. And today, that town is called Lyon in France. So, you know, if you ever go to France and you visit Lyon, that's where Irenaeus was a pastor, and that's where he served the Lord. So he got to be the pastor of that church in the last part of his life, maybe in the last quarter of the second century. So maybe, you know, somewhere around 175 to the end of his life, he's involved pastoring and serving in that church. So that's my friend Irenaeus, where he's from and where he ended up pastoring. Now, he was known as a defender of orthodoxy. Early on, Christianity developed various ways of stating the most important truths of the Christian faith. So often here at First Pres and at other Protestant, well, I mean, other Christian churches of a variety of stripes, you will hear people recite the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed is really an early Christian creed that was based on something that came to be known as the Regula Fidei, the rule of faith, and it started being used in the Roman Empire as early as the second century. And I'm going to read some passages out of Irenaeus' writings where he says stuff that sounds a whole lot like the Apostles' Creed. Well, that formulation of the Christian faith probably developed because of the false teaching of the Gnostics. The Gnostics were a heretical branch of Christianity who had bought into ideas that may have come from Persia or the East and had permeated the Greco-Roman world. They did not believe that God could have anything to do with material stuff. That the true God is completely spiritual and therefore cannot have anything to do with matter. In fact, they thought matter is evil, therefore the true God could not have created the world because matter is evil. It led them to deny that Jesus was fully human. They believed that he was divine, but they denied that he was fully human. And of course, they denied that he was crucified. And they denied that he was bodily resurrected. You know, so their beliefs caused them all kinds of problems. And over against that, Christians formulated that rule of faith, just drawing out of important Bible passages, affirming things like, what do we say in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Why is that in there? Because of the Gnostics. They denied that God had created the heavens and the earth. And Irenaeus becomes super, super famous and important because he studies the teachings of the various Gnostic schools. They're sort of like religious philosophical schools. And let me tell you, there are all sorts of varieties of them. It will make your eyes cross, all the different views and teachings and things that they believed. And so he actually writes a whole book about them. In fact, he writes 5 books about them. He spends the first 2 books just describing their beliefs, and then the last 3 books he spends defending Orthodox Christianity from the Bible. And interestingly, especially from the Old Testament. So he's real, real concerned to show that you can preach Christ and the gospel from the Old Testament. And that should warm the cockles of Presbyterians' hearts. That he wanted to show that if you understand the Old Testament right, you can understand the gospel and you can understand it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was a great defender of the faith, and he opposed the false teaching of the Gnostics. Many people think that he was one of the first systematic theologians. Now, I teach systematic theology. I've taught systematic theology at RTS for about 35 years. Now, what does that mean? It means that systematic theologians look at the Bible topically. When David is preaching through the Bible, his unit of study is usually a passage of Scripture. Sometimes he preaches topical messages, but usually he'll pick a passage in Leviticus, and he'll preach that passage, and then the next week he'll preach the next passage in Leviticus. And so he's moving through the Bible, we would say, expositionally. That is, he's expounding texts of Scriptures. But systematic theologians do things like this. They say, well, what does the Bible teach about angels? And what they do is they try to look at every passage in the Bible that talks about angels and then sort of gather all of that together and be able to give you a paragraph. If you walked up to a systematic theologian and said, so what do you think the Bible teaches about angels? He'd be able to give you sort of a short paragraph about what all the Bible says about angels. You're not asking him to go through every passage in the Bible and tell you about angels, because you'd be there for a while. But he sort of does a topical summary of what the Bible says about particular subject. It might be Christ. It might be the Holy Spirit. It might be sin. It might be creation. What does the whole Bible say about this particular topic? Well, Irenaeus was thought of as one of the first systematic theologians because he looks at the topics of what we today would call the creed, the rule of faith, the Apostles' Creed, and he looks at how those topics are talked about, especially in the Old Testament. And so he's often viewed as one of the first systematic theologians, but he's also viewed as one of the fathers of biblical theology. Now, biblical theology studies the scriptures from the standpoint of the unfolding story of God's redemption. So it looks at the Bible from the standpoint of, well, there was creation, and then Adam and Eve fell, and then God began a plan of redemption, and then one day he's going to bring about a consummation in the new heavens and the earth, and Jesus is going to come again and reign forever. So creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. Biblical theology looks at that historical sort of chronological unfolding of salvation history. And interestingly, Irenaeus loves to talk about that. He loves to talk about that. And we had lost and found about 120 years ago a book that he wrote for new Christians that basically looks at creation, fall, redemption, and consummation, especially in the Old Testament. And he shows how Christ in the gospel is revealed in the law and the prophets and the apostles. So his point is to say, hey, the Old Testament and the New Testament both teach the same gospel. They both teach the same way of salvation. And that little book is called, it gets translated different ways, but this edition is called On the Apostolic Preaching. You probably get it in the bookstore here at the church. It's a very short little book, but it'd be very edifying to read. The other book that I'm going to quote from might be a little technical to read, but you could read this in one sitting. I mean, half of this is just introduction. You could skip the introduction and just read the book itself. And what he did is he wrote this for people that were preparing to be baptized. So people who had converted from paganism to Christianity, he wanted to explain Christianity to them. And so he wrote this book to sort of show them the plan of salvation. And when you read it, it actually sounds a little bit like Palmer Robertson's Christ of the Covenants, because he talks about the covenants that God made in the Old Testament and in Christ that he used to bring about our salvation. And he wrote that for young Christians who were preparing to come for baptism, having been converted out of paganism. So he's a very, very important person from that standpoint, and people highly regard him in the development of Christian theology. We don't have any pictures of, I mean, look, he lived in the second century, so nobody even drew a caricature of him. So I pulled that picture off of a book that Sinclair Ferguson wrote. Sinclair Ferguson wrote a little children's book about Irenaeus. And that's the picture of Irenaeus. And I can't remember who drew that drawing. But you know the pictures that you see of him in encyclopedias and such. Nobody knows what he actually looked like. There, he looks a little bit like John, or like depictions of John that you get in early Christian writings. You know, sort of a white-haired, balding man. But we really don't know what he looked like. Now, we don't know a lot about his background and upbringing. What you have to find out about him from what he writes, because the earliest people that wrote about him lived a long time after his time. And so they didn't know much about his family, you know, exactly what his upbringing was like, when he became a Christian, etc. You have to kind of find that out from things that he says in passing in his own writings. But we do know that at least some of his younger years were spent in Smyrna. Now, you will recognize the name Smyrna as one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And it's the modern-day city of Izmir in Turkey. And I have a dear friend who is a Presbyterian pastor in Izmir in Turkey right now. And so that's pretty neat. So that's where he spent some of his younger years. Just so you have a kind of a picture of where that is in your mind, this is modern-day Turkey. They spell it differently now. If you see the way that the Turks are spelling the name Turkey in English letters now, they will do, it looks like Turkey Yay, T-U-R-K-I-Y-E. But here's the modern-day country of Turkey, and there's Izmir all the way over on the west coast. So that's the town that he spent many of his younger years. And just to give you an idea, look at where the seven churches of Revelation were. They're all right in this area. So this is an area that was evangelized by Paul, but we also know that John spent time in this area. So both John and Paul ministered in this area, and then of course they ministered right across the sea in Greece over here. So Greece is right here, and then Turkey is right here. And so Izmir or Smyrna is right there amongst the seven churches of the book of Revelation. That's where Irenaeus spent some of his youth. Now, as a young man, he met and knew and was even taught by Polycarp, which is pretty cool. Polycarp lived while many of Jesus' original apostles were still alive. And get this, Polycarp knew John. Yeah, that's exactly, when I was reading Irenaeus for the first time and realized that Polycarp knew John, right now the hair is standing up on my arms. That's kind of amazing. Some of you in this room may remember John Reed Miller. Anybody in this room remember John Reed Miller? Okay, there are a few of us still around that remember Reed Miller. Reed Miller was the pastor of this church from 1952 to 1968. And when I got here to Jackson in 1990, Dr. Douglas Kelly said, "Ligon, you are going to take Dr. Miller out for breakfast or lunch once a week starting now." And I said, "Yes, sir, Dr. Kelly." And so for as long as Reed lived, for the next several years, until he got sick right at the end of his life, I got to go out with Dr. Miller about once a week, and it was just wonderful. But I had read about people that Dr. Miller knew. So I had, in seminary, I had read about Harold John Ockenguy and Clarence McCartney and these great evangelical leaders in the Presbyterian Church. Well, Reed knew them. I didn't know them, but Reed knew them. So as a young man, I got to be with an older man who knew these great heroes. Well, guess what? Irenaeus is going to study under Polycarp, who studied under John. So it's let me tell you, he'll tell you about it. He'll tell you about it a lot. In other words, he's making it clear, I'm not making this stuff up. You know, I got this from the horse's mouth. What I'm teaching you comes right out of the teaching of the apostles. So he knew Polycarp. And there's a very beautiful passage in his book, Against Heresies, where he says Polycarp was not only instructed by the apostles, but he conversed with many who had seen Christ when Christ was alive. Isn't that great? So Irenaeus knew a man who had talked with people who had seen Jesus during his earthly ministry. It is amazing. I love it. But he was also appointed as the bishop or the pastor of the church in Smyrna. So you remember that city where Irenaeus is going to spend a lot of his young life? He was appointed by the apostles to be the pastor in that church. And then Irenaeus says, I saw him in my early youth, for he tarried on earth a very long time. And when a very old man, gloriously and most nobly suffering martyrdom, departed this life, having always taught the things which he had learned from the apostles and which the church has handed down and which alone are true. And if any of you ever read the story of the martyrdom of Polycarp, he's 86 years old when he is taken captive by the Roman government. And they tell him, if you will renounce Christ, we'll give you a quick death. But if not, we'll burn you at the stake. And he said, 86 years I've served Christ, and he's never done me wrong. How could I deny him? And he refuses to deny Christ. And he's cruelly put to death by the Roman emperor. But his trust in the Lord, his testimony to Christ, his bravery really inspired people around him. And he was a real witness to Christ. Well, Irenaeus knew him as a young man. Now, Irenaeus eventually goes to France, and he becomes to Gaul, and he becomes associated with the church in the Roman city of Lugdunum, modern-day Lyon. And during a time of persecution and difficulty, the church sends Irenaeus to Rome as an emissary, as a messenger from them to the pastor of the church in Rome. And we actually have the letter that the church sent with Irenaeus to give to the pastor of the church in Rome. And it says this, we pray, Father Eleutherus. Eleutherus was the name of the pastor in Rome. We pray, Father Eleutherus, that you may rejoice in God in all things and always. We have requested our brother and comrade, Irenaeus, to carry this letter to you, and we ask you to hold him in esteem as zealous for the covenant of Christ. Now, that nobody is called that in early Christianity. Irenaeus is the only person that is ever called zealous for the covenant of Christ. And when you read his book on the apostolic teaching or on the apostolic preaching, he loves to talk about covenants. So the church really knew him well to call him that, zealous for the covenant of Christ. For if we thought that office could confer righteousness upon anyone, we should commend him among the first as a presbyter of the church, which is his position. So we're called Presbyterians because that term refers to an office in the church. And at this time, Irenaeus was an elder or a presbyter in the church in Lugdunum. That, by the way, that quote comes from Eusebius's church history. You can still get, there's a nice Penguin paperback that you can probably get for $10 or less of Eusebius's church history, and it's really fun to read because it goes all the way back to the days of the apostles and comes up to about the 3rd or 4th century and tells you lots of stories about early Christianity. That little letter is preserved in Eusebius. Now, as I said, we don't know exactly how Irenaeus died. We don't even know exactly when he died, but we think it may be around the time of a persecution that broke out under the Roman Emperor Septimus Severus, about the year 200. Now, as I mentioned, he is famous for opposing the Gnostics. And in one passage in Against Heresies, he actually tells the story of Polycarp telling him this story about the Apostle John. There are those also who heard from him, that is, from Polycarp, that John, the disciple of the Lord, going to bathe at Ephesus. So John is the Apostle John is going to the public baths in Ephesus, because you didn't have indoor plumbing at your house. If you wanted to bathe, you had to go to the public baths. He was going to bathe at Ephesus in the public bath, and perceiving that Corinthus, who was a notorious Gnostic heretic, perceiving that Corinthus was within, he rushed out of the bathhouse without bathing, exclaiming, "Let us fly, lest even the bathhouse fall down, because Corinthus, that enemy of the truth, is within." So when John heard that the heretic Corinthus was in the bathhouse, he said, "I'm not staying here. The roof may cave in with this notorious heretic." And then he says, "And Polycarp himself replied to Marcion," who was another sort of Gnostic kind of teacher, "who met him on one occasion and said, 'Do you know me?' And he said, 'Yes, I know you. You're the firstborn of Satan.'" how's that for a friendly greeting? Such was the horror when the apostles and their disciples had against even holding verbal communication with corruptors of the truth. So he does not like false teaching, and he doesn't like the Gnostic teaching. And his book, Against Heresies, and it's not this whole, you'll be glad to know it's not this whole book, okay? This is the first volume of the Anti-Nicene Christian Library that was edited by a couple of professors in Scotland and in England back in the 19th century. And you can probably find the full set. I bet we've got the full set in the church library here. But very often, the full set of 38 volumes is put on sale for $99. And I think that's how I got my set, because it was on sale for $99. And that's, you know, you can do the math. That's pretty good for 38 volumes for $99. And what it does is it gives all the extant writings of the earliest theologians of the church up through about the time of the Council of Nicaea in 325. And so in the very first volume, there are writings by people known as the Apostolic Fathers and by people known as apologists like Justin Martyr. And then the rest of that volume is the book called Against Heresies by Irenaeus. And in that book, Against Heresies, he catalogs the various false teaching of the Gnostics. Good, okay, good. I've shown you the things I wanted to show you there. In that book, Against Heresies, I want you to have just a little taste of what he says that I think you will recognize this when I share it with you. At the very beginning of the first book of Against Heresies, he is describing the Christianity that he is going to defend. And he says, "The church, though dispersed throughout the whole world, even to the ends of the earth, has received from the apostles and their disciples this faith. She believes in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Heard that somewhere before? Now, he's writing that around AD 180. And the Apostles' Creed, as we know it, doesn't fully exist yet. But something known as the rule of faith has been being circulated around churches in the Roman Empire during that time. And he's just giving you a quick outline of what believers everywhere believed. So when it gets formulated later on into what we call the Apostles' Creed, it's something that comes from a much earlier time, a time much closer to the apostles. He goes on to say, he is the maker of heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are in them. And we believe in one Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who became incarnate for our salvation. So just like in the Apostles' Creed, the first article of the Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Irenaeus will call those the first and second articles of the Creed in this book. He goes back to the Creed in this little book as he's teaching new Christian converts. And then he says, and in the Holy Spirit. So again, just like the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in the Holy Spirit who proclaimed through the prophets the economy of God. That's a very important thing for Irenaeus. The Holy Spirit proclaimed the plan of salvation through the prophets of the Old Testament. So the gospel is not just revealed in what we call the New Testament. It was also revealed by the prophets in the Old Testament. That's a big theme in Irenaeus's writings. So that they proclaimed his advent, his first and second comings, his birth from a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, the passion, Isaiah 53, the resurrection from the dead, Psalm 110, and the ascension into heaven in the flesh of the beloved Christ Jesus our Lord, and his future manifestation from heaven in glory of the Father, to gather all things into one and to raise up anew all flesh of the whole human race in order that to Christ Jesus, our Lord, our God, our Savior, and our King, according to the will of the invisible Father, that every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess to him, and that he should execute just judgments toward all and send spiritual wickedness and the angels who transgressed and became apostates, together with the ungodly and the unrighteous and the wicked and the profane among men, into everlasting fire, but may, in the exercise of his grace, confer immortality on the righteous and holy and those who have kept his commands and persevered in his love from the beginning. At the very beginning of the book, he says, this is the Christianity that I'm going to be defending. And it sounds like just an outline and an elaboration of what we would have in the Apostles' Creed. And so what he does is he walks through the Old Testament, and he's particularly concerned to prove two things. One, that the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. You know, even today, you'll hear people say, well, the God of the Old Testament is wrathful and angry and violent, but the God of the New Testament is loving and peaceful and kind. Well, interestingly, that issue was an issue amongst the Gnostics. And so the Gnostics denied that the God of the Old Testament could be identified as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Irenaeus does is he quotes Christ, quoting the Old Testament, to show that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are the same. And so that's one of his big, big concerns, is to show that the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament are the same. Another big concern of his is to make sure that we understand that the Old Testament and the New Testament both teach the same way of salvation. That there are not two ways of salvation, there's one way of salvation. That way of salvation is in Jesus Christ. And so, in both Against Heresies and in the little book on the apostolic preaching, he will quote from the Old Testament to show that the Old Testament teaches about the person and work of Christ and about the way of salvation, which is through the gospel. So, 35 or so years ago when I first read Irenaeus, it was very, very encouraging to realize that I was reading somebody who could go right back to the days almost of the apostles and could give testimony to the teaching of the apostles. One of the things that he'll spend a lot of time in the third, fourth, and fifth books of Against Heresies doing is just talking about how if you go to any of those churches in Asia, they'll all teach the same thing. They'll all teach the same gospel. They'll all teach the same plan of salvation. They'll all teach the same thing about Jesus. And he uses that to warn the people against false teachers that come in and deny those things. And because he lived there and grew up there, he's able to testify to what was taught in those churches. And so he became a favorite friend of mine in the early church. And if you want to read about him, you could get Sinclair Ferguson's little children's book. I love to read children's books. Whenever Simonetta Carr writes a children's book, I love to read Simonetta Carr's children's book. And she writes children's books about church history. Well, you could get Sinclair's book and read about him, or you could get the little On the Apostolic Preaching. And in one sitting, you could sit down and read it. And then after you read it once, you'll want to go back and read it again. So that's a little bit about my friend Irenaeus. Thank you so much for your attention tonight. It's great to be with you. I hope that you enjoy this series. There are a lot of... Have you already heard about Monica? You already heard about Monica? What an amazing woman. There are passages in Augustine's Confessions that I love to read about his mother, Monica. So you're going to keep hearing about some of your cousins and brothers and sisters and uncles in the faith in this series, and I hope you found a new one in Irenaeus. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to learn about an ancient Christian who bequeathed so much faithful teaching to us and who bravely defended the faith. We ask, Heavenly Father, that we would know more about our forefathers in the faith and that it would encourage us in the Christian life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.